what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better. I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor, presented by Barstool News Network. It is Monday, January 27th, and Wes and I are in Iowa, and I don't know why I'm talking like a WWF wrestler.
Because it was the Royal Rumble last night.
That's okay, exactly that's why.
Yeah, you didn't watch it because you were in a town hall, but Royal Rumble happened.
You guys were freezing your asses off in Iowa interviewing presidential candidates while Brock Lesnar was tossing out the first, like, 17 people.
It was kind of lame, actually. Yeah. The Royal Rumble kind of sucked last night at first because it was just like one-on-one Lesnar versus dude.
Yeah, we only watched half of it before the show, but he just kept tossing. They didn't let a lot of people in the ring because he just kept tossing them out.
Yeah, anyway, we got huge stories for you guys today. Wes and Will are in Iowa. They did an interview with Mayor Pete last night. They're going to the Delaney rally today. They're going to be partying. Just
a couple Delaniacs.
Political style. I got a feeling it's a theory. It's just a theory that if Will gets too involved with John Delaney, even though
he's leaving us,
he's going to leave us, and he's going to join Delaney's campaign.
Will gets passionate. If Delaney gets in his ear, Will might join the Delaney campaign.
Yep. He's running on double taxes.
He's going to have to be very convincing.
It's a risk we take every interview Will gets.
Let's get into it. Talk about your Iowa trip.
Well, I would say that the bigger risk tonight was the eye contact with Mayor Pete, because I mean that was thick.
I didn't get any eye contact. He pretty much turned his back to me. So I just sat there and nodded. I was going to ask him a risky question, but I was worried that they would tell us that we couldn't use any of the shit after that. And there
was your camera.
So what you're saying is Will's going to get a you up text from Mayor Peter like 3 in the morning?
No, I don't think that. Right. What I was saying is that the intensity he has a look on his face when he's answering your questions that is like he's a focused guy.
Yeah.
He's never going to, like, I was just very surprised. There was never a second where I could even, like, think about something else because he was giving me a very intent answer. I mean, it's impressive.
He might not even blink.
Yeah, right?
So what's the skinny in Iowa? You guys are there. So Wes and Will are in Iowa, essentially covering the lead-up to the Iowa caucus, which is the first big one, huge determining factor on who is the Democratic presidential nominee.
Which is like a week from tomorrow, right?
Right.
Tuesday.
That's right. And so it's getting pretty serious out here. We talked to a lot of caucus goers. Obviously, tonight we were with Pete.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Pete supporters. But we hear, pray tell, that Bernie has lots of mucho support in this state, but only amongst the young people.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's cold as shit here, so I kind of expected there to be more activity.
Did you say it's cold to shit there?
Cold as shit.
Okay.
Both of those, though. It's also cold as shit.
Cold as shit. So I expected there to be a lot more people like milling around, like more news stuff. But really, the only thing that was going on today that we saw was the Mayor Pete Town Hall. And that's where we were. Yeah. And, you know, we got kicked out.
Wait a minute.
This was a mess.
You got
this
kicked out.
This was a whole mess when we started this thing, man.
Yeah, didn't start very, really, really
started
great.
Started bad. So we landed here at Des Moines in the afternoon, and we're like, you know, rushing up because we want to get to the Mayor Pete event. It was a Fox News town hall. Started at, you had to be in by 5. Mm-hmm. And so we get over there. We're interviewing people in the line, mixing it up, think everything's all good. All of a sudden, we get this, like, Iowa Secret Service that comes over and is like,
"Oh, you don't want to fuck with them."
They're like, "Hey, you're not allowed on the premises. You gotta get over to the other thing."
Dude had like a Hulk Hogan like mustache, you know, like
it was hilarious.
I mean, yeah, he was hardcore, dude.
Fu Manchu.
He ended up being pretty cool in the end.
He did. He got me so good.
He did.
On the last, we thought we were about to get kicked out again right before we got the Pete interview.
Yeah.
And he came out and he was like. He was like, "I knew that you guys weren't supposed to be here," and he like looked straight at me. And I was like, "Motherfucker, man!"
Yeah, he claimed.
He's like, "I'm just kidding. I talked to him. You're supposed to be here."
Yeah,
so he let you back a second time.
They had a prearranged interview with Mayor Pete. Of course, you're supposed to be there.
Yeah, in the loading dock behind the fucking.
we got kicked out once for sure before the show, and then almost got kicked out again after.
Well, describe your outfits.
Yeah, that's the thing. We did look very suspicious. Very patriotic. I had an American flag suit on. Will had an American flag.
Let's not give too much away because
give a little bit away. You guys looked like Uncle Sam. He fake wanted people to join the army, and he was just a cannibal, and he ate people.
Whoa!
You guys look like well-fed Uncle Sam.
He looked like American Macho King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
West did.
I originally had some red tights on, but we thought that was a little too much.
You split.
Were you poking through in the front?
No,
he had the jacket was covering.
Okay.
Yeah.
But had it gotten cold enough.
I don't think we would have gotten
like
the interview.
Three berries.
Wes never talks about the size of his genitals, so no idea what he's working with down there.
Well, I created a kid, so I've got something that works down there, but it ain't anything to brag about.
Understood. Okay, well, real quick, what else are we to expect from your trip to Iowa? What's going on out there? What's on
all
the street?
All right, so tonight we got we landed, we got some man on the street outside of Mayor Pete. We got Mayor Pete after his town hall. Mm. Tomorrow we can't tell you exactly what we're doing in the morning, 'cause that's a surprise for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But
don't give away a storyline, but give us a tip. Like, what locations are you going
to? But after that, we're going to Urban Dreams. We have a little interview lined up at Urban Dreams in Des Moines.
Yeah.
A little 10-minute with a candidate. And, and then basically we're going to talk to caucus goers. Basically, the biggest thing? We've been trying to find out, why does Iowa go first?
Right.
Okay? Why does Iowa go first? All right? Now, nobody has a fucking answer for us.
Yeah.
All right? It
certainly ain't the weather.
Nah, that's not it.
All right, well, let's get into a lightning round of other stories.
You guys, any last thoughts? Because you're not going to be on tomorrow, because you're going to be getting a lot of good footage and flying home.
No, we're hoping to get, so far it's been very specific to the candidate that we've been, following around. So today was Pete, tomorrow's going to be another guy. We're going to try to go around and get some regular folks around Iowa and find out what they think, because we want to do a kind of a little mini poll. That's another goal tomorrow. So do a little mini poll for you guys for Predict It. We want to find out obviously if they're at the Pete event, they're going for Pete. If they're at the other guy's event, they're going for him.
But I got to say this, though. We did run into some Trump supporters, that's for sure.
We might do like a shout out. We got a Mustang. We might do like a shout out poll.
Got a Mustang.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Do a drive by shout out poll.
No,
get a couple of Trump supporters on video.
Did Spider get you the Mustang?
No, he did. Well, I gave Spider the credit online, but here's a little tip for everybody who's traveling, who travels for any type of thing where you got to rent a car. Spend a little time, talk to the guy who is renting you the car, and turns out, a lot of times in the winter, he likes to joke about how nobody wants the convertible.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Oh, that's so. And then you end
especially
up
for working
out
people because it's got
place.
Shitty storage.
He actually paid you. He paid you to take the Mustang off his hands.
Yeah, basically.
He's running short on cars, and he's like, "This idiot looks like he'll take a Mustang, so I don't have to tell old people that they have to drive a Mustang."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it come with a blanket?
He saw his opportunity, and he took it. It was very wise.
He pawned the Mustang up on us.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing and seeing more. Make sure to check out the socials at Hard Factor News, at Barstool Newsnet, to keep up with these guys, what they're doing. We lost.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like the trip's worth it? Because we could get more trips out of this if it's good content. Obviously, the one video is doing great, and if we get enough clicks,
is it good?
Yeah, if we get enough clicks on it and it's worth it, then we get to go to other places. If we do good again, it's probably going to be Pat and I going next time. We might get to go to Vegas. So
I'll tell you what.
How are we tracking towards Vegas?
We're gonna have some some tips for sure of things maybe not to do. But I mean, hey, it's two of us running camera, sound the whole time. I think we've got some good stuff.
Yeah,
so
I can't wait to watch Mark's camera work.
No.
I'll say that. I cannot wait to watch Mark's camera work on your trip.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to take Danny with us.
Michael J. Fox style. Look, I would say to everyone listening, I keep interrupting Pat, he wants to move to lightning round. Everyone listening, we need you to watch every video from Iowa. We need you to at Dave and Erica and say Iowa was so good and you should send these guys places so you can get us to Vegas. Everyone listening, you got to watch the Iowa stuff.
And if there's an Iowa pro that's in Des Moines that hears this, it's a Hard Factor fan, reach out to at Hard Factor.
There already is one. I forgot his name, but I'm about to meet him at the bait shop after we wrap this up.
The bait
so why don't we get it going to the lightning
round? All right,
okay, all right.
So let's get the lightning round.
Okay, guys. Well, I got to bring it down a notch here. I think you know what story I'm going to lead off with today, and that's the tragic news of the death of Kobe Bryant. and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, and seven other passengers that were on board a helicopter. So there were no survivors of the helicopter crash in Calabasas, California on Sunday. And it's fucking wild. It's been something that I personally had on my mind pretty much all of Sunday. Everywhere you looked on the internet and on social media, you would see that I was not in the minority there, as Kobe was loved by millions, probably hundreds of millions worldwide. Kobe Bryant was 41 years old when he passed. Bryant was on his way to travel to a basketball game or event that he and his daughter were both going to take part of. Gianna Bryant, who was 13, as I mentioned, when the helicopter crashed, sources said. Those aboard the helicopter included another player on Gianna's, like, I guess, travel team or whatever basketball team she was on. She might be on multiple. And her parent. And then, like, a Orange coach, Coast College right? basketball yeah. coach, John yeah. Altobelli, who was, like, a very famous college baseball coach, I should say. It looks like it says he won 4 California Community College titles in his 24 years at the school, probably a helicopter pilot and a few others that haven't been named yet. You guys heard about this. It's crazy. You talked to Mayor Pete about it. It's
crazy. Yeah, it happened while we were in the air.
Yeah.
We were flying at the same time, and then we landed, and we went to the baggage claim. We saw that Kobe had died, and I thought it was not real at first.
I thought it was not real. I thought Mark sent a text about that Kobe died, yeah. And I was like, this, why? He's trying to fuck with me because I just got off a plane, and I wasn't in tune to what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up on the news, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It was
terrible,
really,
man.
It was
Kobe
really shocking.
Yeah, it was very shocking.
I got multiple texts before I texted you guys. It was like, are these rumors true? And they brought it up. And then I checked the Barstool blog and verified it. Then I checked TMZ.
I'll say this. You know, I was never a Kobe guy. I was always a Mike guy. And that was just me. But I always respected Kobe. And I always thought that he had such an impact on so many people my age. So many people idolized him. Our age.
Yeah. Well, I remember when he started in like 96. It's like we were children,
and he came out of high school.
He was a child in the NBA.
He came out of high school, and it was he was one of the few success cases, like Kevin Garnett and him. Obviously, Kwame Brown out of high school didn't work out, but he came out of high school, didn't go to college, and he absolutely fucking killed it for our generation.
He actually went to the same high school that my grandfather went to
In Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, like Will was saying, Kobe was probably the best basketball player in the world for a very long time in the post-Michael Jordan era. I also grew up idolizing Michael Jordan. I had all of his books and watched all of his games, but I was too young to really appreciate how good he was. That was not the case for Kobe. We were, you know, old enough to see and watch Kobe and see how amazing he was.
He was brutalized,
an assassin, the Black Mamba, ice, like all the accolades, all the nicknames. Like, he was just cold-blooded scorer. He's one of the few athletes that was so famous and so inspirational that he transcended sports, and that was immediately apparent on Sunday. If you went on any internet site, talked to anyone, probably got text, went on social media and saw everything that was happening. Alicia Keys, who hosted the Grammys on Sunday night, kicked off the award show with a moving tribute to Kobe with the help of Boys to Men. They sang "It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday" because Kobe was from Pennsylvania near Philadelphia, as Boys to Men were. Kobe lived in Italy as a child when his dad was playing pro basketball for 8 years, and then he moved back to the Philadelphia area at an early age. He was loved in Philly. He was loved in L.A., where he won 5 championships over a 20-year career there. He was loved in Italy and around the world.
He's on the cover of the Nutella. He was Nutella's spokesperson because of his Italian roots, which I thought was very cool.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah. A global superstar.
Yeah.
I've got Italian and Philadelphia roots as well. That resonates with me. Neymar gave a tribute to him after scoring a goal for the French soccer club PSG on Sunday. Magic Johnson called him the greatest Laker on Sunday. The tributes are too many to mention. Bryant played 20 seasons, as I mentioned, for the Lakers, won 5 titles, NBA championships. He was an 18-time All-Star, 15-time All-NBAer, 2-time Finals MVP, a regular season MVP, and the 4th leading scorer in the history of the NBA. He was retired and had recently won an Oscar for producing a movie and was heavily involved in his daughter Gianna's.
You forgot 2 gold medals.
2 gold medals. He was heavily involved in his daughter Gianna's basketball career. He was on the late night shows talking about how passionate he was about her. She was a superstar in her own right. He'd been taking her to, like, Lakers courtside seats recently. And she passed away, too, at the age of 13. It's terrible. Kobe and Gianna are survived by their wife and mother, Vanessa, and her and Kobe's 3 other daughters.
It's terrible, man.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
He was an expander. He was expanding into, like, a ton of different industries. He had a book publishing industry. He was making films.
He was 41. He was
writing.
He was thriving in his post-career. He was worth $500 million.
It's terrible. KFC, he tweeted something on Sunday about how this is possibly the saddest professional sports death of our lives.
Yeah, it's wild.
I think he's probably right. I mean, in terms of how young and everything, maybe Pat Tillman.
Yeah,
similar.
Pat Tillman was big, but
he wasn't as good in his sport.
When celebrities pass, like a lot of times people, sometimes I don't want to say overreact, but they're very passionate about it, and sometimes depending on the people that pass, like you can tell, like Robin Williams affected me, but this one hit hard. Like a lot of times it's like, oh, so and so died, that sucks.
Well, none of us hit. Kobe was our idol.
Exactly.
Imagine Kobe's their idol.
I know, that's why it's so weird, because
Like sports stars like this, they're bigger than life. They like people just think like nothing bad can happen to them, and then when something like this happens to them, it really puts like just a lot of things in perspective. Like, holy shit, this can happen to any fucking buddy.
He was a legend, an icon. Yep. Yeah.
Hey man, it's terrible. RIP and thoughts to his family.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Three rockets made direct hit on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad yesterday, according to American officials. So, again, there's some rocket fire in Baghdad. Fuck. Apparently no one was killed, thank God, but there are some wounded. Reports are still unclear on how many were wounded. A U.S. official told CNN that one rocket hit the embassy's dining facility. So these bastards were targeting the dining facility.
Which bastards? Was it the Iranians?
Look, there are theories going around that that's Iranian-backed
militia. It was the bastards.
Militia. But no immediate claims of responsibility have been made yet.
It's a new terrorist group that goes by the bastards.
The bastards, yeah. They're going to have a tough time getting
that
name.
We are the bastards.
That's what they call all of them in the South anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all fucking bastards.
Makes it easier.
Those bastards.
But Will, to answer your question, those bastards are probably Iranian-backed militia in Iraq. But no one knows. There were five rockets fired total. Thank God there are no casualties. But
yeah. By the way, a trend with their rocket shooting, no casualties. So
yeah, well, the first one definitely smelled like a conspiracy to me. This one does not. So
conspiracy as in they were tipped off.
I think there may also be a conspiracy that they're bad at shooting rockets and also have shitty rockets.
I just hope that the first one
was from Acme.
Our government negotiating a peace offering, so to speak.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's more or less it. But it's just something to keep an eye on because this shit does not seem to be stopping.
This is a fun show because I've got a coronavirus update.
All right.
Because outside of the brief reprieve for feeling sad about Kobe's death all day Sunday, that's what consumes my every waking thought. It's real fun to be me recently.
Have you watched Pandemic on Netflix?
No, and I don't want to.
You know what's funny, Mark? I just re-listened to some of our old episodes. You were freaking out about coronavirus last week.
Yeah.
So it's only going to be worse this week.
No, it's worse. Here we go. First off, update.
You're lucky you weren't in the Houston airport today like I was, looking at all these people with masks walking around.
People are DMing me and adding me like we're all going to die. The people are feeding into it, and
By the way, Mark does not have a Wikipedia yet. Please, if you're listening, put a Wikipedia out for Mark. Please.
That's what I said. The one fact you can put in is
deathly
scared to death of coronavirus. First off, update for the kid from Texas A&M. He did not have the coronavirus, but that's about the only good news I have for you. Because 30 million Chinese are on travel restrictions now, as the death toll reportedly has risen to close to 100 by the time of this recording, and it's probably doubled since the time of the recording. Although it might be higher, like I mentioned, and the number of cases are in the thousands now. The big horrible new development is that the fucking ass pimple of a virus can be passed during the 2-week incubation period, meaning people can pass this and have to each other before they even show any symptoms whatsoever. This is according to the Chinese health minister. China is also building two large hospitals just for people that have like contracted the virus and are going to get to contract the virus.
That's a little suspicious.
It's scary as hell. So those are just like houses of horror.
Hold on.
With a bunch of dead people in
them. Hold on. What does that tell us? That the country of China, where the virus is originating from, are already in construction of hospitals.
Like two, and they're going to be up within 10 days, and they're monstrous size. There's a lot of rumors going
around.
There's
a bad epidemic and that people say that they knew about it before.
If you want to talk conspiracy theory, a lot of people are talking that the death tolls in the thousands and that China's hiding numbers and that it's very, very bad.
Look at neocon Pat over there,
bro.
That's
I'm just saying, no way. Like, if 50 people have died, they're not building two hospitals. No, the fucking thousands have died, in my opinion.
It's really bad, and it's spreading very quick. Coronavirus has now spread to at least 12 other countries, including Thailand, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Vietnam, Singapore, Nepal, France, Australia, Malaysia, Canada, and the U.S. With some of those countries having several cases, the U.S. cases are rising, and there were at least 5 known, with multiple in California. One in Arizona, and the first case from Seattle, Washington, as we talked about at the time of this recording. So at least 5 in the U.S. I am losing sleep and probably hair over this, which I can't afford.
CDC
and the World Health Organization have not declared this a global health emergency yet, which is absurd. I mean, absurd. Yeah. That's absurd.
I keep thinking about this.
Because when you declare it a global health, I know there's like a panic that comes in that, but people are already panicking. And what happens when you declare it a global health thing is like you get the aid you need, you get the government supports you need, you get the UN support. Like you have to go ahead and take the first step.
Yeah, but there's only one case in America.
5.
I think there was another one.
Five cases already, and there's like five in France. There's like five. Like
Will, I know you're in Des Moines, Iowa, where the virus can't live because it's too cold, but down here in the regular United States where viruses can incubate because it's
there's between 12 and 20 countries with multiple cases.
It's bad. I keep thinking about this, bro. Here's the situation. Can I screen my Amazon Prime Now driver for coronavirus? Because if so, that's how I'll root this thing out. If I can guarantee that the person bringing my stuff, and I've not left the Hard Factor house since I moved in 2 weeks ago.
We order so much shit from Amazon.
So as long as I can make sure that the driver doesn't have corona,
listen,
I'm going to be fine.
I'm going to do it for the World Health Organization. This is a global health emergency. Declared.
Sounds like you're declaring it in a very clear, calm state of mind.
Put that in the Wikipedia. Mark, you want to tell the people your last name? So put a Wikipedia.
Borghi, as I said, I was Italian.
Okay, Mark Borghi, build a Wikipedia for him, and what he just said, that's Wikipedia worthy.
That's right.
We're relying
first
on you.
First to declare this a national global health emergency.
All right, guys, in big news, Andrew Yang qualified for the 8th presidential debate, 8 out of 12 to be exact, to be held in New Hampshire on February 7th. Yang gang! Anyone else feeling that? Yang gang!
Yang's back,
baby. Uh-oh. He did not qualify for the last debate, but he is in now.
I didn't miss him because he doesn't talk in him.
Yeah, Yang is the 7th candidate to qualify for the New Hampshire debate, joining our boy Uncle Joe Biden, the hair smeller, friend of Hard Factor and frequent guest Pete Buttigieg,
yes,
Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, and Liz Warren. To qualify, candidates need to hit 5% in 4 polls approved by the Democratic National Committee or 7% in the New Hampshire, Nevada, or South Carolina poll. Yang hit that in the Washington Post/ABC News national poll at 7%. And then in a second poll, the CNN University of New Hampshire.
What a joke.
He's at 25%. He's at 25% in
there's
CNN.
No way he's at 7%. That poll.
He's at 25%
in
a poll?
In CNN/University of New Hampshire poll.
No, that's wrong.
It's correct, bro.
No, that's wrong. Pat has misstated a fact there. There's no way he's at 25%.
25%?
No,
I mean, that's leading the pack.
I'm gonna live fact check without fact checking. That's incorrect.
I'm doing a fact checking right here. 100% true.
No.
We got our boy overall.
They asked 4 people. And he was one person said, Yang, that's your 25%.
You did live fact check me, and for some reason my article was wrong.
Yeah, of course. There's no fucking chance he was at 25%.
Yeah, no way he got 25% in any poll in the history of any polls.
Yeah. Whatever.
He's at 1-2 nationally.
Sometimes I got
to
keep you boys on your toes.
Yeah,
sometimes I got to keep you on your toes, and it was 5%.
But he did qualify.
He's at 5 on both polls, and he's qualified. Yeah. That I know. Yeah. So pretty much Yang is a shoo-in for who's going to be getting the least speaking time on predictit.org. So if you want to gamble, make some cash. And by the way, I've become an alpha cash daddy this week.
On my
Yang tweet market tweets. I'm crushing on them. In all seriousness, it does take a little bit more effort than sports gambling, but it's a lot more exciting, and you have a better chance of winning. So get on predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. Your first $20 when you sign up for an account, if you put at least 20 in, we will match that 20. Get in now before the February 7 debate so you can throw 40 bucks, the 20 you put in plus the free 20 we gave you, on least speaking time.
Yeah, that's going to be a win.
Absolutely. Get in early, and you will be an alpha cash daddy just like me.
I agree with you, Pat. I do want to say one thing, though. I don't think that it is harder than sports gambling.
Oh, I guess what I mean is I think it's easier.
I think it's easier than sports gambling.
Harder is an interesting word, because what I mean is, okay, so like let's say you throw a bet on who's going to win the Super Bowl.
I think what Pat's saying is it requires more brain thought than picking a team and then never looking back until the game's halfway
but
over.
But that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point.
But this tweet is my markets point. Is the only thing that's
you can make it. You could make a bet tomorrow on who's going to win the Super Bowl, right? And then that bet is done. It's in. You could make a bet on who's going
to
win
how
something.
How easy
and
is
predict
it for me to say Kansas City Chiefs are going to win? That's easy. They're going to win. Done.
But what's cool and predicted is you can make cash 10 times on the same bet by
selling, buying,
because it's a stock market.
Keeping your eye on it.
That's what I mean, boys. Predictit.org/promo.
Much easier to make money.
/hardfactor20. Get a free 20.
All right, guys. A 62-year-old Arizona man was ticketed in Arizona, shocker, on his daily commute this week for driving in the HOV lane without any human passengers.
That's not good.
He did try and disguise that, though. According to the Arizona Department of Public Safety, a trooper pulled over the man after noticing he had a fake skeleton riding in his passenger seat.
You can try harder picture. Than that.
Did he dress it up in like clothes or what?
Just a hat. And it was,
but he put some clothes on it. Yeah.
Just a hat. And it was like a disgusting bony skeleton to the point, Wes, that.
That's how it was like silver bones. Yes. Yeah. Not even like a real skeleton.
To the point, Wes, that the cop drove driving by at 65 miles an hour could clearly tell it was a skeleton. So he's either got a dead body that's decomposed for 10 years or he's pulling the wool over someone's eyes. Either way, he needs to be pulled over. He was ticketed. He's one of 7,000 HOV lane violators every year, but the first to be caught with a skeleton. Passenger.
This is piss poor and embarrassing. Yeah. More effort than this.
Someone in April of last year got a mannequin, which looks a lot more human and
that's better,
and completely dressed it up. So this guy was like, he had the right idea, but he didn't execute it well.
Hold on, I got a thought. I'm actually loving this now because if you get pulled over by a cop, you have a skeleton in your passenger chair. Here's what you do: cop pulls up and he goes, "Hey, you don't say
I murdered her."
No, no, you say, "This is my wife."
Yeah, exactly.
This is my wife, and I don't like to be apart from her. Out of the ticket.
Didn't we do a story where some guy was driving around his dead wife?
Yeah, if you pretend that it was your dead wife and that
you
love her so
much.
If
you say you're crazy, but they might take you in and be like, "You can't drive because you're crazy."
Pat clearly hasn't seen the picture. This was like it would literally be a 15 to 20 year dead body.
You never know. All right, guys, pythons, let's talk them. We have results from the event that we'll most certainly be attending next year and perhaps is the biggest sporting event of the year. That's right. I'm talking about the Python Bowl.
Python Bowl sounds like a dream compared to Iowa caucus.
100.
Right.
Certainly a lot warmer. That's for sure. Pythons would all be dead in Iowa.
Well, guys,
I got a single live python in this whole state.
That'd be so dead.
We had the Pro Bowl yesterday, and which was dog shit. And we had the Python Bowl, two huge events leading up to the NFL Super Bowl. 2020 Python Bowl removed 80 invasive Burmese pythons from the Everglades, while simultaneously raising awareness about this important conservation issue. Yeah, the winners of the removal competition of the Python Bowl.
A lot of conversation that's in those Everglades.
Fuck you, Will. were announced.
What if they combined the Python Bowl and the Puppy Bowl? That would be
that'd be finished. That'd
be
fucking
that'd be a fucked up event.
That'd be a massive event.
That'd be a fucked up
So
event.
The removal winners of the 2020 Python Bowl were announced at an awards ceremony hosted at the venue that will be hosting the second most important sporting event of the year, Super Bowl Live in Miami. And the winners, guys, in the pro and amateur competition. So for most pythons, Wes, in the pro division is Mike Kimmel, who was the grand prize winner, taking home a Tracker 570 off-road ATV. Eight pythons. Seems like a low number for me for 10 days in the Everglades, but whatever.
And the python's a big snake.
Yes, it's true. So the rookie grand prize winner was Christian Hernandez, also won a Tracker 570 off-road, for getting six pythons. So there's two divisions, pro and amateur.
Could you imagine going to a bar like with your wife like the night that the Python Bowl?
Python Bowl
competitors are having their after party and you roll up into a bar and you're like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, it's just like a cuck porn.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, it's just like a guy getting his wife stolen.
Yeah. A dead python.
You don't want to do that.
A dead python is so much better than a motorcycle.
Apologizes to them.
Yeah, first prize was they took whoever's wives they wanted at the after party.
That's true. All right, guys,
sorry for not wanting you to take her at first.
Yeah, exactly.
Mister.
Yeah. Around on me. Have fun, boys.
Okay, so let me get through this. For longest python in the pro division, Tom Rahill.
Was also Mike Kimmel, was just his dick. it wasn't a snake.
Tom Rahill caught Mike Kimmel's dick.
It was just his dick.
Mike was very surprised and then aroused and then upset. Tom Rahill won $2,000 for a 12 foot, 7.3-inch python. It's a pretty long python, boys.
That is.
And then Chris...
I win this every year. Thwop.
What's the poundage on that python?
It didn't say the poundage, boys.
I mean, this was
length, not heaviest. That's next.
Yeah.
Christian Hernandez won again in the rookie division for a 11.65-inch python. And then for heaviest, the pro winner, Tom Rahill, again, won for a 62-pounder, $2,000.
It's probably the same fucking snake.
Probably the same thing. Yeah.
Same snake.
No, it would have to be different.
One giant
snake. And the longest python was 12 feet,
was really
7, 3 inches by this Tom Rahill guy. You're saying he got a shorter, fatter. No, that snake, that competition's stupid because the winner of one wins both.
Okay, we're not arguing the semantics of who it or what should be awarded with a python bowl.
I would contend that not a lot of thought went into the prizes at
guys.
The python bowl.
Guys, we can work this out next year at the Python Bowl, okay?
Wait, Pat's so upset.
So our boy didn't win. The guy who's going to sleep in his truck and
no,
the guy that's...
No, he didn't win this year. He got eaten.
And in the heaviest for the rookie division was Dave Mucci, who won $2,000 for a 50-pounder, excuse me.
Nice. Good story.
All right, so more than 750 people from 20 states registered for this 10-day competition. We'll be back next year for the Python Bowl. We can't wait. That's going to do it for Hard Factor. Thank you guys so much for listening. Keep an eye on our socials. The boys are in Iowa. They're going to be giving us updates on the Iowa Cockeye.
Every click counts. We're trying to get to Vegas.
And, if you haven't, give us a follow on social media, at Hard Factor News, at Barstool News Network, at Hard Factor West, at Hard Factor Will, at Hard Factor Mark, and at Hard Factor Pat. We expect Mark to have a Wikipedia. That's Mark Borgi. And he's afraid of the contravirus. And have a great fucking
coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
You're nailing it today.
I got to come to Iowa.
Love you. Have a great fucking day. He is the most complete basketball player in the game today, bar none. He has an assassin's mentality. I said this when the trade went down, and I'll repeat it again. Who's starving more for an NBA World Championship more than Kobe Bryant? There is no one. This guy is highly motivated. What separates Kobe from the pack? More than Kobe Bryant. There is no one. Okay. On my shirt, he the greatest on the court, and I'm the greatest on the verse. Going for the four ring like it was his first. Gotta get the gleam, do it for Kareem. 2-4 so nice, my flow so mean. Catch me at the game, sitting next to Goldstein. Kobe Bryant Nikes, purple gold streams. Kobe in the game, dunking on the team. Black Mamba, attack conquer. Basketball beast, rap monster. Crossover good, a turnaround jumper. I'll just drive the lane and dunk on dunkers. You know where it's going down, yo. This is the lake show, but don't drown, though. I call him King Bryant, I let the crown show. Definitely, I'm just lost for words. I mean, he's amazing. Pass me the